Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of our My One Quote podcast with me, Rob.
And me, Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. How are you doing today?
I'm not bad, thanks, Rob. How are you, though? You've been away, haven't you?
Yes. I went on a 10-day trip to Japan, and it was just lovely.
So, remind me, it was your first time in Japan, right?
That's right, yes.
And how was it?
It was wonderful. So, I didn't really know what to expect. We did a little bit of everything. We did a lot of the traditional side of Japan, you know, the shrines and the temples and beautiful gardens. But we also did some of the modern stuff like Disneyland and Universal Studios and Harry Potter World.
I've never been interested in going to Disneyland or Disney World or anything.
Mm.
Well, I wasn't interested until I saw some videos of the Beauty and the Bride, Beauty and the Beast ride. Sorry, not Beauty and the Bride, Beauty and the Beast ride.
Sure.
And that looks incredible. Apparently, the Japanese one is technologically very advanced.
Yes.
And everyone says it's amazing. Did you go on that ride?
So, well, when I say Disneyland, I refer to that in general. The place we actually went to is called Disney Sea, because there's two different ones in Tokyo.
Right.
In Japan. Now, I didn't really know anything about any of the Disneylands before, so I did some research, and quite consistently, people were saying Disney Sea is the best one.
Right.
So we actually went to Disney Sea rather than Disneyland, and as you can tell by
the name. Is that C?
Oh, yeah.
C as in the letter C, or C as in ocean?
Ocean.
Oh, cool. Disney Sea. Oh.
So that's the theme. It's a water-themed thing. Not all the rides are kind of like you're going to get wet or something like that, but all of the lands and most of the rides have got a certain kind of water theme to them.
That's cool.
And it was lovely. It was absolutely wonderful.
Nice. So there was no Beauty and the Beast ride there?
Sadly not. Sadly not. So I was being a bit stupid at one point. There's like an app for Disney Sea, and Disneyland is actually next to Disney Sea.
So I've never heard of this Disney Sea.
It's the best one.
It's so interesting. I'm going to Google it after this. Yeah.
Please. Like, so if you go back to Japan, as I say, I haven't been to the Disneyland in Tokyo, which seems to also be regarded as one of the best Disney places, but Disney Sea people tend to say is just slightly better, and I had a wonderful time there, so I definitely recommend it.
Nice.
Yeah. What about you? Like any other cool stuff recently?
Not really, I don't think. When did I last see you? I haven't done a lot recently. I did go and see a comedy show in Manchester a couple of weeks ago. It was the Australian comedy group Auntie Donna. Have you ever watched any of their stuff?
I haven't heard of them. Can you tell me about them?
Oh, really? They are absolutely ridiculous. Like, their comedy is really strange and really silly. I started watching them in 2015, I think. Mm. I think around 2015. And my friend David and I we could not stop watching it. We loved it so much. And over the years, I've kind of kept up with them a little bit. And then they released a Netflix special called Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun. Have you seen that? Heard of that?
No, but I love the title.
Some of it's not great, but it's a little bit hit and miss. So some of it's quite good, some of it's not so good. But when it's good, it's great. And some of that is really funny. And they've got loads of stuff on YouTube, Auntie Donna, AuntyDonna. And I've been wanting to see them for years because my friend David, who I, you know, we both really like them, he went to see them, I think in 2016 or 2017 without me. And he said, if I meet them, do you want me to say anything to them? And I don't know why I said this, but I said, oh, can you lick one of them for me? It's just a joke.
Sure.
Just a silly joke. Sure. You know.
Standard, yeah.
Anyway, he did, and he took a photo and sent it to me. Obviously, he asked permission first.
I would hope so.
And they also made a video for me. So I've had this video for 8 or 9 years.
Oh my God.
A video for me, you know, and I've never seen them myself. So I finally went to see them, and
Did you lick them?
I didn't lick them. I didn't eat them.
Ah.
It was okay.
Ah, all right.
I know. It was quite disappointing. It was really fun to see them live. At the beginning of the show, it was quite funny, and I thought, oh yeah, great, this is going to be really great. And then I kind of, and my husband said the same thing. We were kind of waiting to really laugh. You know, at the beginning I did. It was great, but then I was kind of like, oh, I'm not. And everyone else was really laughing, which made me feel a bit like, oh, I'm the only one who's not enjoying it.
I've had that experience
I did
before,
enjoy
yeah.
it, but yeah, it was fine. I had a good time, and I went there with my friends, and we had a good time together. It wasn't as funny as I hoped it would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be like that, I guess. As I mentioned, I've had that experience before going to certain stand-up comedy
Yeah.
things, and I feel like I am just laughing here because I'm kind of supposed to, and everyone else is
Yeah.
doing it, you
Yeah.
know, which is a little unfortunate. But doing comedy shows is incredibly difficult
Yeah, absolutely.
to make it consistently funny. I have no idea how they do
No.
it, so I have a certain amount of respect for people who do.
Me too. And obviously, like, you can see they're working so hard, you know, they're sweating, they're running around, they're doing their best. So I really enjoyed seeing them. I was really happy to support them. That was the important thing, you know. And they said that that show was the biggest show they'd ever done. I think they were going to London, and then, you know, in London they did a bigger show, but at that time ours was the biggest show they'd ever done, which was quite exciting.
That's lovely.
So maybe the biggest show in the UK, I don't know. But it was really fun to see them live. I was happy to support them, but I still really enjoy the stuff they put online.
Excellent.
But it wasn't quite as funny as I hoped.
Fair enough.
But do you have a quote for us today?
I do have a quote for you. I have a quote for you very much. So the quote I have for you today, it's weirdly from two people,
Okay.
because I heard this kind of idea from one person who is called Morgan Housel, who's a little bit famous at the moment, because he's a finance person,
Right.
but he's written some books that have been very, very successful. So he said something on a podcast that I heard, which was something like, you only have two choices. Generally, you can sacrifice more or you can want less. But when I searched this, it said, oh, actually, this isn't really his original quote. Apparently, the original version of this comes from a guy called G.K. Chesterton,
Oh.
who was a English author, philosopher, Christian apologist, poet, journalist, magazine editor, and literary and art critic.
Yes, I haven't heard of the first guy, but I've heard of G.K. Chesterton.
He sounds pretty busy with that job title. So his version of the quote was to say, there are two ways to get enough. One is to continue to accumulate, which means get more, more and more. The other is to desire less.
Yeah.
And I like this quote, so I thought I'd pick this one for you today.
Yeah, it's a good one. I think that I can really identify with one side of that quote, and I think my husband would really identify with the other side.
This will create debate. This is good. Yeah.
So I'm a maximalist, and he is a minimalist, and so that means that I like stuff. I have a lot of stuff. I enjoy stuff. He doesn't like having a lot of stuff. He prefers to have, you know, like a very clean and, well, I'm clean, but he prefers to have a very sort of neat and tidy house. And, you know, I like to have a house that's full of things. But I can see the benefits of his style, but he can't see the benefits of mine, which is quite interesting.
Interesting.
And that's fair enough. But so yeah, I think desiring less is probably the right course, right? That's probably the right thing to do. But I am a maximalist, so I find that difficult.
Sure. And I think the quote's really cool for a few reasons that it seems to generally be about things like money or
Yeah,
material things, but
right.
I believe that you could apply this to other things. Like, for example, as I've probably mentioned before to you and our listeners, I would like to lose a little bit of weight. And in order to make more progress with losing weight, I still have those two choices. I can sacrifice more, I can try harder, I can put in more effort, or I can be okay with the weight that I am now.
Yeah,
Those are
right.
really my choices. So I think even though this is like a thing about sort of money, I think it doesn't have to only be about that. And I've discussed this before with some friends that it's interesting that for some people, if they really, really want, for example, a really big and beautiful house that is very expensive, it might actually be harder for them to stop wanting that than to actually earn the money to pay for that house.
What do you mean? Sorry.
So he was saying the choices are you can accumulate more, you can get more, or you can want less.
Right.
It's not that easy to want less.
Yes, I agree.
So let's say you wanted a huge, beautiful house, and you have always wanted that since you were a child, and all of your friends have big, beautiful houses, and you think you can do it in a few years, and all sorts of other reasons. It might be really, really hard to stop wanting to have the big, beautiful
I
house,
see,
you
yeah.
know? So yeah, what do you think about that?
I think that you're right. I think it could be really difficult, but I think studies have shown, I could be wrong about this, but I feel like studies have shown that people who are satisfied with what they have are generally like happier in life. So instead of thinking, oh, I really, and honestly, actually, I've been doing that with this house that I live in. I'm always looking online, at my dream houses and stuff. But actually, we've been putting a lot of work into this house. And I'm trying to think, okay, I'm lucky to have this house and we're changing it and it's great. And I need to be satisfied with this house. And if I'm satisfied with this house, if I'm happy with this house, then that's perfect. I don't need anything more. So I think you can train yourself, and I think you can change your mindset. But I think it is difficult.
I think it's difficult in the moment, but maybe also we might have a problem that if I give you an example, let's say I bought a house and I am so thrilled with it. I really, really like it. Just naturally, in a few years, I will probably be looking at other houses and then thinking, "Ooh, that house is a little bit better." And I guess that thing of wanting more over time, in one way you could say, "Oh, that's because you're being greedy or something." But I think another way you could see it, "No, that's actually kind of natural and a bit good for you because we always need to have something to move towards to give us some purpose and stuff like that." So I think the quote points out a lot of quite difficult questions about what we want and how to get it and what makes us really happy.
Yeah, I agree. I think I don't disagree with you. I think it is quite a complex topic, maybe more complex than it first appears to be.
Sure,
Yeah.
absolutely. So
Cool.
I want to say to everyone, please join our BritSent membership for the English and Korean transcripts with key expressions, and please check the link below for more detail.
Great.
So we have come to the end of another one of our lovely podcasts. I hope you all have a lovely day, and Hannah, I hope you have a lovely day as well.
Thanks very much. You too.
Okay, see you all next time. Bye bye.
Bye.